Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I, Charles the Fourth, or is it the Third?
We will strive for the denazification of Ukraine.
Let me put it to you,
Justin.
Yes,
if you win by one, you've won.
The phone went over the side.
It is time to draw a line.
I just think everyone should be sure.
What the fuck is going on?
Hello, I'm Mark Steele. Welcome to my podcast where each week I ask the question, what the fuck is going on?
What the fuck is going on?
What an immense relief that all those people were arrested at the coronation before they did anything that none of them were planning to do. One Conservative MP explained they had to be arrested because what if one of them had glued themselves to the King's couch? And this is an excellent point, because if one of them had vaulted over 400 barriers and broken through 30 lines of police by displaying a series of kung fu moves and then dodged some of the world's most efficient security and snipers by making themselves invisible and turning themselves into a blackbird and hovering over the coach until it was due to set off and then reforming as a protester and gluing themselves to the coach, it could have given the new king and queen a nasty shock. It's a crucial advance in the battle against crime to abandon the soft old strategy of arresting people because they've broken the law, to arresting people so they won't ever be able to break the law in the future. We'll discover that Dame Judi Dench was arrested on the morning of the coronation because what if she had used the inside knowledge she learned while playing M in the James Bond films to spoil the ceremony by gluing herself to Anton Deck? And David Attenborough was kept in custody for 18 hours in case he used his knowledge of lemur monkeys to climb up the Shard and shout anti-monarchist slogans through a megaphone, spoiling everybody's day. We'll be told that Ivy Simpson of Southend was arrested because she bought a packet of drawing pins in February. She claimed she'd bought them for a game of pin the tail on the donkey at her 8-year-old son's birthday party, but the chief of the Met explained, what if she had used these pins to pin herself to the door of Westminster Abbey or to Emmanuel Macron? Then we'd have been criticised for not taking action sooner. We can't win. This is why, to be truly safe, the only way to ensure public order is maintained is for everybody to be arrested every day. In particular, if there's a royal ceremony, the royal family should definitely be kept in a maximum security wing of Broadmoor, as they have the best access to the royal coach, so could cause absolute havoc with some glue. And even though none of the protesters were charged, the arrests ensured the day went off perfectly, and it was marvellous to see how the monarchy has modernised to make feudalism and the aristocracy still relevant for the 21st century. Nothing speaks to the future as much as a golden stagecoach. And the luckiest person at the whole service was Penny Mordaunt, as she should have been arrested for carrying an offensive weapon. It was the ceremonial sword she'd have objected, but the Met would say, "Of course it is, madam. And now, if you'd just like to put it down, we can take a full statement at the station." On this podcast, we always like to be positive about the tremendous things that are happening in this great country of ours, in particular, the benefits of Brexit. And so we're delighted to be able to share an extract from the diary of the most patriotic British person ever born, Nigel Boulevard. This week, I was delighted to watch the coronation on my television. And what a proud moment it was that once again, we have a royal family. After all those years when the European Union had prevented us from having a king or a queen. Instead, we had to suffer the indignity of foreign kings and queens washing up here from Romania or from Poland on dinghies and taking our king and queen's jobs. They'd arrive in their thousands, go straight to the job centre, and when asked what job they wanted to do, they'd say, King. And because we were in the European Union, there was nothing that we could do about it. So they were taken straight to Buckingham Palace to go hunting and paying off women that they'd allegedly manhandled, paid for by the taxpayer. And for the 45 years that we were chained against our will in the dungeon of the European Union, our own royal family was forced to live in a wheelbarrow in Brussels, while unelected bureaucrats tickled their feet with millions of unnecessary documents and red tape. Thank God we've got our royal family back. As my wife said to them when she met them, Guten Tag, willkommen in England. Gott sei Dank sind wir die Deutschen los. Mine's a pint of Weasel Blaster. Cheers!
When everybody honest, wise, or decent had all gone, there was nothing left to ask, what the fuck is going on?
Now, no one who has ever tried to work out what the fuck is going on, particularly on a week when a what the fuck is going on ceremony took place, which apparently dictates who we are as a country, and this is what we do best, people slithering about with magic swords and diamonds and fuck knows what, and then go, this is what we do best, this mental thing. Nobody can do that without expert advice from a country that looks upon us largely saying collectively, what the fuck is going on? That country being Scotland, Mr. Mark Nelson representing Scotland, as if this is the Eurovision Song Contest, yeah. And you have an independent entrance. Hello, Mark.
Hello. What a class thing that would be if we got an independent entrance into the Eurovision. It'd be fucking amazing.
Well, you would do, yeah. Why don't they make more of that, the SNP?
Because I don't think anyone really gives a fuck about the Eurovision up here either, so it's not...
Right. Anything that England's in.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck.
Is it? Because I know I was listening to it on the radio this morning, and Ireland didn't get through. Because Ireland used to be like the champions of Eurovision, but this is like the eighth year they've not gotten to the final.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, because they used to win every year.
Yeah,
and then they you have to stage it the next year, so that you know that it costs a fortune. Yeah. Government. Will you stop winning the fucking contest there? Which you're bankrupt in the fucking whole of fucking Ireland, and.
That's why.
Yeah, so they just put in people having a shit and stuff, and a child playing a xylophone, and it'd still win.
That's why. Like I heard someone talking about it, going about how disappointed the Ukrainian people would be not to be hosting it, and I was like, I imagine they don't really give a shit, to be honest. Like, I think they've got bigger fish to fry than
they're sliding in a metro stop. In the suburbs of Kiev, wondering whether or not the last bomb that you heard destroyed your family home. But it is, would have had contest, and it wouldn't have even been there because they only won it because they're Ukraine.
Yeah, no,
so
I
that
know.
Actually, they could have done everything, couldn't they? They could have come out and sang, oojimmy, boojimmy, bidjimmy, bidjimmy, flip, and they'd have won it. Now, you are, I'm told, from Scotland.
Yes.
So, how was Scotland with the coronation then? In as much as you all speak with one voice and you are representative of them all.
I think there was a bit, I mean, the majority of it was just, this is utter nonsense. I think there will be, it was weird, I was talking to this with my wife's cousin the other night, and she was saying that during normal life, you never really meet royalists. You know, it's not like one of those things, like, because everyone can meet people that are into various conspiracy theories, or you'll meet the odd racist and stuff, and you will know that, but nobody ever really meets someone that's well into the royals until something like this happens, and then suddenly these people crawl out of the woodwork and suddenly they're organising street parties and all sorts of shit. So there was some of that, but it's always the same kind of thing in Scotland. Like it'll be as much in England as well, an older generation were well into it. And then smaller villages.
You're younger.
But the majority, like Glasgow where I live, I say that Glasgow where I live was very much split half and half down the middle, so it's not really
Yes, it does seem to be. So, now, what was it that the good people of Celtic football clubs sang?
Yeah, stick your coronation up your arse.
You know what's lovely about it is it scans, doesn't it?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all in there. Yeah.
You don't have to sort of add a syllable. You don't have to, so often with football chants, you've got to muck about with it.
Yeah.
But you can stick your coronation up your arse. It's probably, I don't know, iambic pentameter or something, isn't it? I don't know. But I think it was Shakespeare. I think is it not Gloucester in King Lear who says, thine may be mad, but thou tellest thee not, thou canst stick thine coronation up thine arm. It does, it scans beautifully.
Yeah, that is wonderful. But that made, you can always tell when it's really crossed over, because like that was on, Jeremy Vine was talking about it. And then Piers Morgan had it in his show, which is what it's obviously. I love the fact that Piers Morgan will complain about it and not think that that's now an absolute badge of honour for the people that sang that.
Yeah,
like we've pissed off Piers Morgan. Like essentially, this has gone better than we ever expected it to.
Exactly. But it's I've sort of because I do various sort of French things, various French things and stuff. And I was there was a little resume of the coronation that I watched on a French thing, a lesson I'm doing. And I thought, oh, right, this is your view of it. And they're generally like when the Queen died, the French were worse than us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was in for doing the In Town show but in Paris just the week after she carked it. In fact, no, about 3 days after. And she... And I thought, oh, well, at least I'm out of here for the nonsense of all this. And then I turned on a French television and it was almost like they were going, we cannot believe that the English only have 24 hours a day of royal news when surely you should add an extra day for such an event. Extra hours. We have changed our time so that we can get more hours of eulogies for your queen. But this time I noticed that they add like about 2/3 of this sort of 10-minute crazy of the news was about how so many people in Britain really weren't interested, particularly the young. Sadly, they didn't have on per, I don't know what a stick up would be, le couronnement dans ton cul.
I think it's because like a lot of it will go now because the Queen was quite a well-loved person. Even amongst anti-royalists, I think they were kind of like going, do you know what? The Queen, she's all right. Whereas Charles just doesn't have that. He doesn't have that popularity. He doesn't have that panache. He doesn't have that charisma to kind of carry them on. So, and the fact that he'll probably be dead in a couple of years, so we'll have to do the whole fucking thing again. So it's...
Would it be brilliant if Hugh Edwards had said that, right? and there he is, the new king, Charles III, in his coach with Camilla. How fine he looks. And, of course, what all of us would be thinking as we're watching this is he'll probably be dead in a couple of years, and so we'll all be back.
What a lovely
again.
Dress rehearsal this is for William's coronation.
And if Camilla is lucky enough to survive, as she probably would, because she doesn't have the same uptight, tense manner that he has carried all his life, then she would be here thinking, thank fuck, I can enjoy it without his miserable whinging. And there was one of these lip reading people.
Yeah, I saw that.
Said
that
in the coach that he was going, this is boring now. Yeah. This is boring. You're the fucking king being crowned at the coronation. And I am really, really not monarchist. But if I was being crowned king, whatever else, I wouldn't find it boring.
No, I know. Yeah, it's anything but boring. What I loved about that lip reader guy was, because they've obviously, people were kind of speculating, because he had a face like thunder, he was obviously moaning about something, so they got lip readers in. But what I loved if he just wasn't mentioned it at all, if he was checking like his team for fantasy football that day, and he's just going, he's fucking dropped De Bruyne, what? Just like...
Leicester. Well, in the championship.
Cute children, fucking hate football.
Oh, no, that's the Queen talks like that. How does Camilla talk? I don't know how she talks.
I don't actually know. I don't know if I've ever heard Camilla talk, actually.
I wonder why that is. That might be like, you know, in Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
Where they get, it's all about the woman has got a squeaky voice, yeah. And so she has to get someone else to sing for her. Maybe that's it. With Camilla, one day she'll speak. Maybe she's Glasgow. But yeah. Chance, will you fucking stop fucking waving me the way? You're in a good fucking carriage. Yes, but I mean, some of this is not the right shade of gold. Now, also in Scotland, up until, well, for the last, what, I don't know, 10 years or so, the Scottish National Party has been on a march, maybe not towards independence, but towards being, well, it certainly has been the dominant, it's run the government, the Scottish Assembly, it's run all the Westminster MPs, bar a few have been SNP. Has that all gone wrong now?
Yeah, for him? The wheels have fallen off, and it turns out those wheels belong to an 80 grand motorhome. So yeah, it's the most. I was talking about this on stage. It's the most Scottish. Like when you look at the way other regimes, powerful regimes, end up falling. There's either like a military coup, or there's some sex or financial scandal, and Scotland's been brought down by a fucking caravan. It's just the most. But yeah, I know Nicola Sturgeon will say that it was completely coincidental that she resigned a week before her husband was arrested, but you kind of go, she must have known something was coming down the line. And I actually feel sorry for Humza Yousaf because he's inherited an absolute shit show of a party, and he's got to run the country at the same time. And it's just, I honestly, he must look at his first, what has he been, 4 weeks, I think he's been in power now, and he must just go, there's not been a day where some scandal or some problem that he has to deal with hasn't happened.
He should be on the phone to Liz Truss. How many days did you do? Okay, I'm going to see if I can beat you by a couple of days. I don't really understand it. Is it that it looks as if they siphoned some money out of for this caravan,
An ongoing investigation for a while because there's been a lot of campaign funds that were raised that haven't gone missing and have never been declared. And there's been this investigation as to where this, and the thought is it's very much like a Father Ted, the money was just resting in my account kind of scenario. And because the SNP they're kind of the masters of their own downfall because they've operated under this do not question the party, complete lack of transparency, everyone follows the party line, no one speaks out against anything, then natural suspicions have come about. And then now that the mainstays and the people that have been at the head of the party are starting to fall, it's all crumbling and various things are coming out. And it's these people that are left in the party that really weren't party to any of the information at all because it was so secretive are now having to deal with it. The whole thing's an absolute mess, and I think it's damaged their independence cause beyond reparation, to be honest. So
right, yes, because they're going, if we were independent now, I suppose that's the either consciously or subconsciously people will be thinking that if we were independent now with this, we would be being run entirely by these campervan people.
Yeah, but they're essentially given their opponents the lines for them because they can basically go, look, if they can't even run their own finances, how could we possibly expect them to run the country's finances?
Oh, dear. Every time someone looks like they're vaguely all right.
Yeah. And the thing is very much for Scotland as England as well. You're kind of going, oh, well, at least there's an opposition in waiting that's going to sort things out. And then you look across and go, Jesus Christ, they're just as shite as well. It's such a tragic, despairing situation that is around the country.
Oh, no, the sooner there's a military coup, the better.
That's why I'm pro-Putin now. I'm like that. Just fucking, honestly, just end this.
Just leave it here. What about that as a deal? Leave Ukraine alone and you can have it here.
The ultimate show of solidarity with Ukraine.
Right. It's been absolutely brilliant talking to you, fun. As ever.
Great laugh.
And, where can we see you in future times?
I'm doing my first ever tour at the end of the year. Well, at the end of the year and into next year. So I've got 3 dates already announced in Dumfries, Aberdeen and Dundee. And then after Christmas into February and March, I'll be going down south in England, Wales and Ireland and back up to Scotland again. So, yeah.
All right, so is there a website or anything like that?
If you go to, it's like one of those Linktree things. It's just like, you know, Linktree/ Mark Nelson comic. They're all on there. But it'll all be on my Twitter and my Facebook and stuff like that as well, Instagram and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, well, absolutely brilliant luck with that.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. Now we know what the fuck is going on in Scotland, at least.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You're fully up to date. I'll see you again in 6 months for that.
Well, Putin will be running the place by then. We'll have to have him doing this podcast. People would, wouldn't they?
Oh, Christ,
all the people we know do podcasts. You do readings for it.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by the Russian Navy.
Oh, brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, mate. Cheers. What the fuck?
As you know, we love to get all sorts of views on this podcast, and so it's my great pleasure to introduce once again the master of gently teasing out opinions, Mike Concrete.
Right, with me next is Willie Dunness. He's from the Scottish Fisheries Association, and he wants to tell us all about Scottish salmon. Hello, Willie.
Hi, Mike. An honour to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Go on, then. Why should we be eating your salmon?
Ah, oh, there's so much to be excited about, Mike. Our salmon has just actually been voted Quality Fish of the Year for the 3rd year running, and we're becoming more and more aware than ever of the health benefits of fresh fish.
What's wrong with English salmon?
Well, there's nothing wrong with English salmon, but obviously Scotland is well known for...
How do we know it isn't poisonous?
Well, I mean, there's very, very strict checks on all our produce.
I've seen a river in Glasgow. It's filthy. Why would I eat anything that's been in there?
Oh, Mike, come on. Scotland's much bigger than Glasgow. We've got freshwater fish and all that.
You're trying to kill us all, aren't you?
Why would I want to do that? We want you to buy our salmon, Mike.
Exactly. You don't fish for anything English like sausages. You want us to buy your rebellious fish that doesn't even know how to swim the right way up a stream. Hey, Glasgow's full of bits of old shipyard. So, yeah, you can put that in your fish so we all drop dead, so you can get your independence.
What are you talking about? It's just salmon.
Is that why Nicola Sturgeon fiddled herself a camper van so she could drive all her rotten salmon down here and bump us off?
Mike, it really sounds like you're a bit paranoid.
Oh, I'm not paranoid. Did you kill the Queen with your dirty salmon?
Are you accusing me of murdering the Queen?
Yeah. And King Charles.
King Charles isn't dead.
Yes, he is. See ya, Willie. That's enough of that, idiot. No wonder you're not allowed to smoke in your own house anymore. Here's Andy McNabb with today's yoga tips for cats. What the fuck?
Thank you so much to all those of you who are now supporting us on Patreon. It is because of you, selfless, angelic souls, that we can continue on our quest to find out what the fuck is going on. If you would like to join this wonderful, virtuous, radiant group of people for as little as £2 a month, just follow the link on our Twitter page or go to www.patreon.com and type in what the F is going on. Or to really be in the elite group of people, like the top pilots in the RAF, that sort of thing, in the world of what the fuck is going on. For just £4 a month, you will get a longer ad-free version of the episode with extended interviews, bonus sketches. This week, there's a woman I heard on a phone-in show talking about the Eurovision Song Contest. And you will get discounts on live shows, which we will be doing more of later in the year. Also, you'll get the episodes on Friday nights, unlike everybody else who has to wait until Saturday mornings. I just was ringing shrinks to just medication. So go to www.patreon.com to save yourself all of that hassle and type in what the F is going on to join the WTF community. Podcastees, we have arrived at the point of the week in which the nation stops, much as it may have done in 1940 to listen to Winston Churchill. It is the time for the announcements. And even when nothing much has happened, it is absolutely imperative that we have announcements because nothing is more British than that. And now we have taken back control. We can have announcements wherever we like, on trains, on buses, soon on every form of transport. There will be, an even on unicycles, there will be an announcement that there is, that if anybody leaves something that may look unusual on your unicycle, such as a back wheel, then please contact the unicycle police immediately, who will come down and destroy the unicycle in a controlled explosion. See it, say it, sorted. But my announcements are even more dramatic than that, which is that I'm doing some live shows around the country on a tour that seems to go on and on and on and on, but not if you're in one of the places where I haven't been yet. It's been brilliant fun so far. I never like that when people say, loads of comics do that on Twitter. Oh, I'm having such fun at the moment. The show's going great. And I was thinking, well, I think we'll be the fucking judge of that. You can't go around saying you're great. Anyway, I've been great. So I'm coming to Croydon. All by the time this goes out, there might be just a few tickets left on the Fairfield Halls on the 26th of May or one of those days. And the marvellous thing about the Fairfield Halls in Croydon is if you go down there and get the wrong day, you'll still be able to wander around the centre of Croydon. You can look at Luna House, the immigration building, and you can go into you can go down to the Whitgift School, where the private school has its own zoo. There's so many things to do. Look at a tram. Then I'm going to be, where are the other ones with tickets? Brighton, June the 3rd. And then, and Hackney Empire, June the 8th. Yeah. Oh, there's, loads of tickets for that one. So even if you're somewhere. And then, and Telford on the 23rd of June. I'm finishing there. You know, it sounds so glamorous. It can sound so glamorous touring. But a tour always ends up in somewhere that isn't traditionally glamorous. I think Telford is glamorous. I shall finish the tour and then I shall go out like, you know, like James Caan in Misery, who says that whenever he finished a book, he would have a cigar and a brandy. I'll have my cigar and my brandy and I'll go and watch the traffic going onto the slip road of the M54. So, Lancaster, 17th of June. Yeah, so that one was only put in late, so there's still tickets left for that one. Lancaster. Now, that is glamorous. There was a war fought over Lancaster. Now, people have been getting in touch with us on our account, as well as on Twitter, also on the Patreon account, wanting to know what the fuck is going on. And after all, given that the title of the podcast is What the Fuck is Going On, it's not unreasonable to think that we might offer some. In Ipswich, Ben asks, Trump is found guilty of grabbing a pussy in a department store and his poll ratings go up. What crimes could Sunak do to improve his ratings? Yeah. I mean, Trump couldn't be very much, there couldn't have been very much doubt about it, given that he's on tape saying that he loved to, I can't even say, it's so utterly foul. God, what have we become as a human race? I bet. Even back in 1432, when people became heads of state by carrying swords, I bet if bloody King something, fucking King Thistlethwaite of Wessex in the 7th century, if he was overheard saying he would grab a wench by the pussy, even back then, there would have been people going, oh, we can't have a bloody head of Wessex being a bloke who said that. No. We're just making ourselves a laughing stock towards the Merolingians and the Visigoths. But somehow we've got to a point in the 21st century where that seems to be all right. And you're quite right, Ipswich, Ben. And then his poll rankings go up. But Sunak may well look at that. And if he carries on being a long way behind, then this time next year, we can expect him to think outside the box. This morning, I was arrested for stealing a Toblerone from Lidl. It's possible. Steve Battlemuch, good friend of the podcast and a very good friend of Nottingham, says, is it true that Mark's like Nottingham so much he's arranged to play in goal for Palace versus Forest on the last day to help us stay up? Yes. Yeah, so for people who don't follow football, Nottingham Forest are in a little bit of a pickle. They've certainly got a very strong union, their football team, because they have overmanning is usually a thing that was said in the 70s and 80s to try and sack people, but none of that at Nottingham Forest. They've got 700 or 800 players in their squad, and they'll be all right. You'll be all right, Steve. Nottingham Forest, I think Leicester and Leeds will help you out without me playing in goal. I think if I did play in goal and the other team scored less than 130 goals, that would be very, very shameful on the part of their forward line. But yeah, good luck. Good luck to them. Not that people say that, don't they, about other clubs, but you don't really mean it. But I'll say it, even though I don't mean it. Good luck to Forest and good luck to, but very good luck to Nottingham. And Nottingham was lovely when I was up there the other day. And for people who don't know, this is something you've got to know about Nottingham. If you meet someone in Nottingham, you have to stand behind the left lion. The left lion is the one by the council house, which is the name for the town hall. Once you've got that, you're well on the way to speaking Nottingham. That's the equivalent of having learnt the imperfect tense in Spanish. So the left lion outside the council house, which is the town hall, that's where you meet. Don't meet at the right lion, that you will just be put in jail. That's a little Nottingham thing. And also, if you want to learn the Nottingham accent, which I did learn, but I've forgotten it, then there's a bloke on YouTube who's about 20 who tries to teach the Nottingham accent, and he starts by holding up a bread roll, and he goes, this is his exact words, first thing is when you see that, that's cob, that is, not bap. If you ask for bap, you get tits, mate. How can you not love a city like that?
What the fuck is going on?
Now, no one will ever work out what the fuck is going on without the immense help and assistance of people in their 27th year, the key year for genius. I'm sure Einstein was 27 or something like that when he came up with the theory of relativity. And with me is Elliot Steele. I'm sure he's working on something just as important.
Yes. If I had Einstein's level, I would have helped with the nuclear bomb.
You would have what?
I would have joined in with Oppenheimer and helped made the nuclear bomb. Why not?
He didn't join in with the nuclear bomb.
I know. That's why I said if I was Einstein, I would have.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Because that film's coming out about Oppenheimer, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a few films about it. Who's playing him? Jennifer Lawrence.
Cillian Murphy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that real? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know when you're joking or not.
It is. Have you not seen it? It's a Christopher Nolan film.
Oh, right.
It's got Matt Damon in it. Loads of people. It's great.
Okay. So for people who don't know, Oppenheimer's the man who was sort of the head of all the scientists that were brought together in the Second World War to try and work out how to make a nuclear bomb.
He was doing it for peace, didn't he?
Yeah, and the in a race, of course, with the Germans, which obviously America was going to win.
Do you think that dropping a bomb on Japan was necessary at all?
No, not for humanity. No, I think it was necessary for it was the opening shots of the Cold War, wasn't it? It was like right.
The second bomb they dropped was all right, Jesus Christ. The first one was like
Japan, Russia. This is what you're fucking dealing with if you think you're going to be bloody running a big chunk of the world,
yeah.
And therefore all the rest of it is it was secondary to that, I think. Yeah.
But the Japanese were not going to surrender. Right, America were like, the war is not going to end. Just because we've taken back a few islands.
Story, isn't it? That the whole, because that's sort of like, oh, you know what they're like, the Japanese. They just won't surrender. That's what they're like.
But they weren't going to. Like, the Japanese were worse than the Nazis.
But defeated armies do surrender. They really do. Saddam Hussein said, we are never going to surrender. All hail the mighty wisdom of the noble, bloody blah, blah, blah. But then once a load of tanks are in your house and your palace,
how are they going to do that? Because it's the same thing, the same reason Britain was hard to invade, the same reason Japan's much larger than Britain. It's how are you going to get those tanks and all of that over there? How are you going to do all of that?
Because
getting bombed.
Because it was a world war and all sorts of countries got invaded that were from the sea.
But they were finding it hard to fight for the islands like Guam and things
they
like that.
They weren't done yet. So
how are they going to take the fight to the Japanese? It was at the time that was probably the most logical thing
to drop the nuclear weapon,
because you just want the, there's you don't know when the war's going to end, you don't know what's going to happen. You're like, right,
but the Americans are like, that's a myth that that's the reason it was dropped. It was dropped because at that point in 1945 there was the beginnings of a cult. They could see, you know, like look at so much of what happened in Europe was Stalin's troops moving through Europe in a certain way, and wherever the Soviet Union army conquered, that became part of the post-war settlement. We run this now. And Roosevelt was well aware of that anything that was run by the Soviet Union, that was going to be part of their sphere of influence, as they called it. And so, we're now in a completely new situation now. The Germans and the Japanese, they're done for. The Germans had been completely done for by them. And that's what that was for. And so the nuclear bomb was dropped for that reason, for American
military reasons.
And
there's a theory, basically, there's like this really cool theory on like the Nazis basically just got lucky in the first 2 years of the war. So they just like the way they invaded, just like the British and the French didn't think, their whole thing was like, the Nazis aren't going to invade us through the Rhineland. That would be stupid. They can't do that. And the Nazis had like their Panzer tank divisions were great, but what they were also great at was keeping soldiers awake on crystal meth. So they broke through the French force that So they were all like that. So like the Nazis would just it's not made up. The soldiers were just fucking tweaking out on meth. They would just give them. Have you ever seen the video of Hitler just tweaking out on meth? So when Mussolini was going to pull out of Mussolini was going to like pull out of the war. He's going, this is just getting fucking insane. And Hitler went to meet him, and Hitler was just knackered. And so his doctors gave him liquid cocaine. And apparently Hitler just ranted at Mussolini for an hour, where Mussolini went, fucking all right. So they would just have these like cracked out Panzer divisions just going through France.
During lockdown, I watched about 15 episodes of The World at War, narrated by Laurence Olivier. They interview various people and generals who were, loads of Axis power generals from Germany, Italy, and Japan, Soviet, British, incredibly sort of marvellous series. I don't remember any of it where they said that Hitler convinced Mussolini to take part in the war because he was off his tits on crystal meth.
I know what you're saying, and you're going, this is mental, but the Nazi party, like one of the things they gave their soldiers to keep their soldiers just going and going was like what is now known as crystal meth. They were just fucked on amphetamines the whole time. They had this huge
amphetamine factory, like sort of Walter White times 100.
Yes, they just gave them, it was state, they would be in their party and they would give them amphetamine because it was seen as, this is great, you can just keep going.
Was that all his problem? You think when he wasn't on meth,
I get so angry. Have you seen the videos of Hitler at the at 32 Olympics. He's fucked off his face and met. He's just tweaking out. Like, because he's just,
Hitler, do you know what? I'm going to go with the traditional view that Hitler was tweaked off his face at the best of times. I think Hitler had a cup of Tizer, he would still have gone out and gone, Dein Volk, Ein Reich. I don't think...
I'm not saying he smoked crystal meth and then went, hey, do you know, like, let's round up the Jews. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm saying he had that. He had that already and then was able to sort of like, you know, that sort of like thing where people do coke and they sit around at 6 a.m. and are like, we should start a band. He had that, like, let's kill the Jews, but then took meth and then was able to, like, go through with it a little bit. Because he was fucked. That's what they were. The Nazis were fucked off their face on meth. That's true. That's like a fact. There will be people who listen to this who will tweet. A large majority of them, you think about it, you're fighting in a war, your soldiers, you've got supplies, you've got this. And then there's this thing that goes, oh my God, this makes you not sleep for 3 days and can keep going. That's a massive advantage. And that's one of the reasons early on they were able to break through front. It's because they would just go for fucking days in a tank.
Well, I'm sure, you know, drugs take their place in any invading army, but I think it's
Google
a mob.
Right now, just to Nazis, meth. How methamphetamine came, this is from Time magazine. How methamphetamine became a key part of Nazi military, military strategies. It's a genuine thing. It's not just some like conspiracy theory stuff.
No, I'm not disputing that they would have been, you know, using drugs and so on to keep them up for an extra few hours so that they could invade Yugoslavia. But whether, for example, Hitler convinced Mussolini to be part of the Axis powers because Mussolini would have gone, oh fuck, I just want a quiet life. I'm not having him fucking yelling at me like that again.
Let's just
invade Ethiopia. Just get it all done with. It's just been fucking in my ear.
Mussolini
was trouble for Hitler.
The Italian army couldn't, like, they were aware they couldn't fight the likes of the Allies. They were aware of that. They knew they weren't going to be able to. They didn't have the technology like Germany had, or even like, you know, Britain or anyone like that. They didn't have the technology, and Mussolini was like quite aware of that. But Hitler turned up on like, mate, we're going to fucking do it. And he was like, all right. He's convinced me.
Thank you very much. I don't think what the fuck is going on audience would have been expecting this conversation this week. But now you know what the fuck was going on between 1938 and right up to now, really. It's all... seems so obvious when you think about it. Thank you very much, Elliot Steele. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you've liked it, rate it, and if you can be bothered, write a review. If you can't be bothered, cancel everything else that you're doing all week, even if it's visiting a family member that you haven't seen for 35 years who has recently been discovered in New Zealand and they've walked here. Don't bother meeting them. Write a review. If there is anything at all that you think I should be finding out what the fuck is going on with it, please send me a message on Twitter at WTFisGoingOnPod, and we will look at every message that you send. If you would like to become a WTF supporter and get early access to ad-free extended versions for as little as £2 a month, please visit our Patreon page. What the Fuck Is Going On was hosted by me, Mark Steele, with my guests Mark Nelson and Elliot Steele. Voices by Mark Nelson and Sarah Alexander. It was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair. Music was by Willie Dowling. It was produced by Mike Benwell at Carousel Studios. What the Fuck Is Going On was brought to you by WTF Productions.